Nation, A1 Custom Car Care.
Good morning and welcome. You got Sarah and Dustin, A1 Custom Car Care. Getting a little reprieve from some of the heat for a few moments.
I know, but it's going to shoot back up there again.
It's just a teaser.
Good fall, old Missouri.
Fall will be here before you know it, Sarah.
I know. I'm really excited. I went and bought my first Halloween decor.
Uh-oh.
I know.
Is that your favorite? Holiday?
No, so it's close. So my favorite holiday is the 4th of July.
Oh,
and then followed by Halloween, Thanksgiving, and then Christmas.
Yeah, excellent. Yep. Excellent. Those are all winners in my book.
I know. And it's a pretty big tie between Christmas and Thanksgiving because I love those holidays. I love getting together.
Absolutely.
I love the season.
A little good food.
Mm-hmm.
Definitely getting all the family together. Definitely something, especially after the last several years. It's it's nice to kind of, I don't want to say go back to normal, but hopefully we're trending in that direction.
Hopefully.
So Sarah, I'm going to bounce something off of you and hopefully I can remember the clip correctly. But I think our friend at Tesla sent out some information, and it's been a while back, but he basically talked about compensation. And I was like, okay, well, what's he getting at? He talked, and his statement was, is you're directly compensated for the level or the difficulty of problems that you're able to overcome. And when he put that out there, I was like, I'm going to have to think about that. What initially, when you hear that, do you agree? Do you disagree? You think he's full of malarkey or what?
Say it one more time.
So you are directly compensated. Or I think, and I'm going to ad lib a little bit, or even promoted in regard to the level and difficulty of problems that you're able to overcome.
I think that depends on where you are at in life.
Okay.
So if you have a good business that is around you supporting you, I definitely think that that quote definitely makes a play.
Okay.
But I think that if you have just kind of a regular run of your mill business, doesn't really care, you got a revolving door.
Yeah.
I think that that quote may not be as accurate.
Is this from your experience in life? I'm putting you on the spot here.
It might be.
Well, hopefully if you are a, you know, very productive and somebody that has the give a crap attitude, if you will, that you don't stick around places like that very long. And I guess that's kind of, at least when I hear that, kind of what I think about, like, you know, if I have actually worked, I left A1 Custom Car Care years ago and I went to work for a place like that. And it didn't work for him or I very long before we both figured out, like, what you're doing, I'm not interested in. And so I had left there, and thankfully I had left under good terms for A1 and was able to return. That's probably been, I don't know, better than 15 years ago now. But when he said that, it, at least in my experience, that's been pretty much how my career has gone, honestly, is I wanted to be the problem solver guy, not for ego or accolades or whatever, but I wanted early in my career, and I did, you know, technicians, you know, that struggled with a repair, there was many of them that I worked on and fixed or diagnosed or, you know, just persevered through. Really, it wasn't any skill. It was just the fact that I didn't and wouldn't give up, if you will, that allowed me to accelerate through my career a little bit quicker. And so for me, at least, when I heard that quote or statement or whatever this week, it just kind of rang a bell. And I think, you know, as I look at now, I still very much feel like I'm in the prime of my career. I have many years left to you know, be at the top of my game, if you will, or the top of the automotive repair industry. It really rung true to me because I have worked with many, many amazing technicians, service advisors, shop managers over the years, but I had always been the person that, like, coach, when it's fourth and long, the game's on the line, and I'm, you know, this is just an analogy, if you will. Just track with me for a moment. I want the ball. And that's not because I feel like, you know, I want any, you know, reward. It's just when it's on the line, I always wanted to be at the top of my game, and I was the go-to person. And thankfully I have been, and my track record I believe, and you can ask any of the folks that work with me, and they'll tell you, they'll shoot you straight whether I win or lose sometimes. They like to remind me when I lose, which is fine. Keeps me in check. That's totally cool. But it has paid off very, very positively for me and A1 Custom Car Care that, hey, even if it wasn't us, so there's times where, you know, other shops would struggle with repairs and they would send things over and I would work through them. And you know, a good amount of the time there was a charge associated with it, but also a good amount of the time there wasn't. And it was just the right thing to do, as well as I had this long-term mindset that, look, I'm not just looking to get through the week Monday through Friday and then, you know, we'll start with a clean slate next week. And I was looking at it that even if I don't gain anything from the interaction financially today, the experience, which is very, very important, that muscle memory or that ability to know that even when it's a very difficult repair, diagnosis, situation, even a contentious issue with a customer or another technician or service advisor, the ability to strengthen that muscle to be comfortable being uncomfortable. And I know that's kind of like, sounds like an oxymoron or a paradox, if you will. But having the ability to weather those storms is something that I started crafting early in my career. And I did that at a short-term loss. It was I was the young kid, you know, I was doing the undesirable work that the other technicians didn't want to do with a good attitude. I was doing the comeback work that if another technician had worked on it previously and it didn't solve their issue, a lot of times the technicians were gun shy to deal with those. And if they could pass them off to a younger, eager, inexperienced technician, and I'm just keeping it real with you guys today, they would do it in a heartbeat. And I can remember several technicians feeling like they kind of got over on me. And even one in particular asked one time, because I had been doing this for months and months and months, he's like, "Why in the world are you doing that?" At the time, I really couldn't craft an answer. I didn't know why. I just was like, I was eager to learn and prove myself. And hopefully I still have that. I believe that I do, but sometimes you're not the one that is able to be the judge of that. You know, it's your close confidants that should be the judge of whether you still have that or not. But long story short, I did it because I wanted to accelerate my experience level. I didn't have, you know, I had education. I had 2-year formal trade school, amazing instructors. I grew up in a household that was automotive related. My dad was a dealership body technician. So a lot of that all overlapped. But what I didn't have was those years and years of just slugging it out in the trenches. And so I didn't want a 2-year, and maybe that's part of the story. You know, when I got hired at A1, I was right out of trade school. You know, it was explained to me that typically it would be a 2-year apprenticeship, if you will. Now, I would be working under, you know, more experienced technicians. Well, 2 years really wasn't in the cards for me. That wasn't something I was interested in, as well as I had feel like that I had entered, even as a new inexperienced technician, with a lot more training and experience than most people that get into the industry. And so as that started to develop, within 6 months, you know, the writing essentially was on the wall. And thankfully, to Sarah's earlier point, I was part of a company that recognized it and paid attention to it and really was fostering that relationship. And so within about 6 months, they're like, "Okay, you're ready to go. You're full commission. We're going to move you over to a production technician," which is a run of the mill. We've basically figured out that you've accelerated through your apprenticeship program quick enough that, you know, you're ready to go and we can kind of take the training wheels off of you. So I guess to wrap that thought process up in a nice little bow is it's really up to you. If you're hungry and the opportunities are there and you're got the gumption or the guts to seize those, be a part and choose a company that feeds that. And after almost 20 years, I'm very, very thankful that was the decision or the path that kind of worked out there. So I've rambled long enough for the first segment. You're listening to Springfield's Talk 104.1 KSGF. We'll be right back after this.
Your complete car care solution, A1 Custom Car Care.
Welcome back, Sarah and Dustin, A1 Custom Car Care. Miss Sarah, did I get in the deep end of the pool on that last little...
I liked it.
...kind of run at it? I'd like to see what everybody else thinks. I mean, you know, are the days of, you know, being able to excel off of your own abilities over? Or the old days, you know, back in the day, and there was a company I almost went to work for here in Springfield, by the way, they did everything off seniority. So, like, you could be a complete, like, you know, lazy, just schlub, if you will. And if you had been there longer than me, you got precedence over me, even though I would be, or it doesn't have to be I'm just using that as an example. Even if I was more the right fit for the job.
Right.
Even if you were there long, you know, you had seniority, they would go your direction for that. And so I didn't take the job because of that, by the way. Mm. They did offer me a position and I did not. I decided, you know what? I want to be judged off of my work or
my and your
merit.
Skills.
Yeah. I don't want to just because my hire date is different than somebody else's, then I'm immediately the second candidate or whatever.
Right. Yeah.
I was like, man, that just, it's a real old school thinking. And don't get me wrong, seniority is important. We have some folks that been with us, I think probably 30, or maybe getting closer to 40 years. That does have its merit, but that doesn't automatically mean you're the front runner. Maybe you're not skilled for that role correctly.
Yeah, well, I know over at your shop, I know that there are certain people that do certain mm-hmm. things. They
yes.
specialize in it.
Yes.
So you're not pulling somebody being like, okay, well, this person
right.
is, you know, they've been here the longest. They should know how to do everything.
Right.
But no, you have specialty.
And we put a lot of effort and time into figuring out the right person for that
right,
role.
Yeah.
You know, I don't know if you've ever read the book Energy Bus. Have mm-hmm. you ever heard of that one? It's a really, but basically the long and short of it is if you're having an issue with somebody, maybe you have them in the wrong seat on the bus. Mm. So not everybody are people, please, or, you know, people. Not everybody like to deal with people. There we go. How about that? So you don't want those folks up at your front counter answering your phones and whatnot.
Right.
Doesn't mean they're bad people. Maybe they're the most amazing technician that I've ever seen, but they want to deal with the difficulty and the logic of cars. Well, okay, then let's put them in the cars, the area, and then let's teach or coach or find the right person that loves interacting and being social with people. You know, I don't want to take the person that's great with people but bad with cars because they've been here longer and then just throw them into, hey, this car's giving me problems. Let's see if they can fix it. That just doesn't make any sense. And so I guess that seniority thing was just a little weird for me, if you will.
Yeah, I don't blame you on that one.
So I'm pretty happy with that. But you had some interesting
I do.
Things in the automotive field over there.
I do. Okay, so do you want to talk about car payments or do you want to talk about a popular vehicle that's no longer going to be on the market?
Let's hold off on that one for a minute because I've been coincidentally like just doing some research on that vehicle anyway. But we'll talk about that one in a minute. I'm intrigued about your car payment situation over there.
Yeah, so, you know, we have been talking about it recently, and I think that it was a couple months ago, there was a report done that the average car payment was like $700+.
Mm-hmm. $770, I think, is what I remember.
And I came across this one, and I was like, are you kidding me?
Oof.
More drivers spend $1,000 a month on car payments, reports say.
Incredible.
Can you imagine spending $1,000?
No, I cannot.
I don't even understand. So,
I wonder a lot of times, a good buddy of mine, we were just having this conversation. How do people do that?
I don't know.
Like, how do you rip off $1,000 a month plus insurance and life in general?
Do they not have mortgages, I wonder?
Maybe not, but you look at even the rents here in Springfield
yes.
metro area.
Oh, I know.
It's cheaper, in my opinion, to get a mortgage mm-hmm. than it is to pay rent, even on an apartment. And I'm not throwing stones at any of that. It just amazes me. And the amount of apartments they're building, which clearly means that there is a demand for
right.
people to live in apartments. You know, that used to be the economical way. Like when we were a kid, we did live in an apartment down in Carthage. And it was a, you know, it was a nice apartment, but it was a, we did that because it was cheaper.
Yeah.
But those days are gone.
Yep. Well, and I know that too, because I have a friend who was just recently moving, and I think that they said that the cheapest that they could find for their availability was like $1,100 a month. And I'm like, wow. And I told them, I'm like, you know, my mortgage is less than that.
Yeah.
And then we got into a whole conversation of like, you know, the housing market and, you know, all that good stuff. But I digress. So more drivers spending $1,000 a month. So the number of Americans paying more than $1,000 a month on car payments has increased as interest rates on car loans surged.
Yeah.
So the percentage of drivers spending upward of $1,000 a month on payments jumped to an all-time high of 17.1% in the second quarter of 2023. That's compared to 16.8 in the first quarter. And all of this is coming from Edmunds.
Okay.
So the amount of drivers spent on averages, this is the average that we were talking about a couple months ago. So this has now reached a new record high. It is now close to $733, and that is up from $730 in the previous quarter. So they say that the higher payments are tied to historically expensive financing terms. They say the average percentage rate, the APR, rose to 7.1 in quarter two compared to 7.0 in quarter one and 5.0 in quarter two of 2022. Drivers also increased borrowing amounts to pay for more expensive vehicles. The average amount financed remained above $40,000 for the fifth straight quarter. So it averages about $40,356.
You know, for a lot of years, you could get 0% financing for 60 months. And I'm noticing they're pushing that out 72, 84. You know, we're going to have a 10-year car note coming up here before too long.
Yeah.
They're going to have to, because I just don't see, you know, as they continue to elevate the cost of even a medium, a mid-size, you know, we're not talking about a one-ton dually diesel with all the trimmings or a fancy Cadillac. I mean, we're talking about regular commuter vehicles being, you know, 50, 60, 70, 80,000 bucks. They're going to have to push that out, which I guess in some contrast, the vehicle that used to you would buy and at 100 or 200,000 miles was used up. You know, we're seeing them 200,000, 300,000, 400,000. Actually, the vehicle I drove here today, you want to take a guess what the mileage on that one is?
Now, I know you've told me before, but it's like 300,000.
So
plus?
I have a couple of those, but this was my Excursion that I'm driving today.
Okay, I didn't see it out there.
So it is a diesel. It's 7.3 diesel. It's an 03 model, one of the last ones they had. It's got 447 on the
ticker. Wow.
So,
that's like unheard of.
You know, I'm pretty proud of that.
Yeah, and you should be.
We have several within our company that are in the 300, 400, even 500,000 miles. So I'm getting close at 447. But that's the only way that I could justify spending that kind of money is that if I could put a half a million miles on a car.
Right. Yeah.
And years ago, that wasn't possible. But this particular rig, I have done some work. I mean, some significant work to it, but I've not put in, knock on wood, you know, I mean, I'm a little superstitious. I have not put an engine, transmission, transfer case in it. It does need a little bit of, you know, TLC, but it's got almost, you know, we're working on a half a million on there. That's the only way I could see spending that kind of money and being able to drive a vehicle, say, for 15 years, that it would, you know, just make good sense or good financial decision in order to do that. But most people out there don't do that. They buy it for, you know, and have it for a while and they trade in, or God forbid, can you imagine getting upside down on a loan like that?
That'd be terrifying.
I mean, that could devastate you for the next decade.
Right. Yeah.
You know, if it wrecks your credit, like when I was a kid, credit was important, but you could get through life with bad or no credit. That's getting more and more difficult. I mean, you're going to be reduced down to some digital number here pretty quick if we're not already there. I don't mean to put my tinfoil hat on, but it's part of the game. But I take a lot, as well as it's very comfortable. You know, that truck's been paid off. You know, we basically bought it outright. It was used when we got it. But my point being is that's ours. You know, I don't have to worry about anybody coming to get it. I don't have to worry about making my payment this next month. It is ours. And so I'm seeing both sides of this at the shop level. I'm seeing, and we work on and do a lot of first oil changes, which I take as a big compliment, that they don't go back to the dealer for their first oil change, even if they're free a lot of times. They come and have us take care of it. And the other part of that is I'm seeing people invest in older high mileage vehicles like we're talking about now that, you know, if the engine went out after I leave the station here, I would probably put another motor in that thing. It's been that good of a rig for us, as well as I've kept up on a lot. I mean, it's got new upgraded brakes, new suspension on there. You know, it's been a great vehicle. So I'm seeing other people take that same mindset, if you will, that, you know, I've paid the taxes on it. You know, the cost of ownership's pretty low. And, you know, I don't have a payment associated with it. So even if I had to rack off several thousand bucks and some time to put in the vehicle, it'd be worth keeping on the road. So I don't know. That's
right.
Crazy,
well,
I guess.
And I guess the good news about this article is it also kind of highlights on the used market as
mm-hmm.
well. And,
that's true.
It mentions in one paragraph, and I'm just going to ad lib it. Basically, it's talking about a lot of people who needed a vehicle mm-hmm. simply couldn't find what they were looking for
yeah.
in the used market because it was just so mm-hmm. just bone dry.
Yeah.
But the good thing is, well, it's kind of a good thing, kind of not a good thing, but there is more vehicles starting to appear in mm-hmm. the used market.
Yes.
And a lot of that is because manufacturers are starting to catch up, but also because they're seeing a lot more repos
mm-hmm.
as
the
well.
Default. Yep.
So I guess that's kind of a, I guess it just depends on how you look
yeah.
at it, really.
Which side of the coin you're on.
Right.
You know, hopefully you're not the one that's defaulting, but, you know, if you're in the market, it's swinging over to a buyer's market. But Sarah and I are down at the bottom of the hour. You're listening to 104.1 KSGF Springfield's Talk. We'll be right back after this.
Your complete car care solution, A1 Custom Car Care.
Welcome back. You got Sarah and Dustin, A1 Custom Car Care, trying to keep you all in touch with the automotive world, if you will.
Yeah, just a little bit of what's going on.
So you got something from the big old Nissan over there.
Yeah, that's right. And you said that you had tons of information
on
this as
well. I do, actually, but it's different than, I think, what's in your article. So I'm interested to hear what you've got.
Okay, so the Nissan Titan pickup, do you know it?
Oh, yes,
well,
I do.
It's going away. Going away.
Going away.
Next
They're dumping
year.
It.
Yep. Okay. So Nissan confirmed that this model year will be the last for its full-size truck, the Titan.
Yeah.
Production of the Titan and Titan XD will end in the summer of 2024 at Nissan's plant in Canton, Mississippi, to make way for two new EVs.
Mm.
Yep. They're going to be built there at that facility.
Mm.
One of them is going to be the Nissan EV sedan, which will be called the Maxima. And the other will be an Affinity equivalent.
Hmm.
Now, the Titan was first introduced in 2003 and was Nissan's first entry into the full-size pickup market. Its second generation arrived in 2017 and introduced a variant called XD
mm-hmm.
that was meant to fit between the light-duty and the heavy-duty trucks.
Yep.
Now, Titan, it's apparently, according to Car and Driver, it's never sold in volumes anywhere close
mm-hmm.
to the levels of domestic full-size trucks.
Yep.
And it's even lagged behind its only other Japanese competitor, which is the Toyota Tundra.
Mm.
And it says that through the first half of 2023, Nissan only sold 10,550 Titans in the
wow.
United States. Now, the pricing for the 2024 Titan is going to start at $47,665.
You know, that's actually not too bad for a full-size pickup.
And it's brand new. Yeah, that isn't terrible. Because I know that whenever you were building your dream
mm-hmm.
truck with all the bells and whistles, it was over 70,000.
Yeah, 72K.
Wow.
Yep. You know, Nissan, I'm not a big Nissan fan.
Yeah. Do you see a lot of them in the shop?
We do. We work on a lot of their smaller commuter cars, I guess is what I would say. Have I worked on a bunch of Titans over the years? Sure. I have done quite a bit to them. They're a pretty doggone good truck, honestly.
Is
tough as it is for me to say that. The reason I don't care for Nissan in general is some of their engineering practices.
Mm.
just don't, I think there's a better way on some of that. However, they did a lot of stuff good out there. For a pretty robust truck, it really is. The brakes on them are fantastic. They did a better job with their braking system than almost every other truck out there, in my opinion. They really did a good job with that XD, which is the one you were talking, that's kind of the stopgap between going to a 3/4 ton pickup and a 1/2 ton pickup. They didn't get overly creature comfort level inside, so I like that.
I also like that.
Very utilitarian. It just works.
I think the more of those creature comforts that you have, I see like dollar signs.
Oh, they are. Absolutely. Yeah. I mean, you talk about like these big infotainment systems with the giant screens. Mm-hmm. You know, all of us pretty much have a cell phone anymore, and it's more than a cell phone. I do a tremendous amount of work from my phone. Mm-hmm. But when you have an issue with it, it's basically now built into the dash of your truck. So none of that stuff is cheap. You know, the days of getting a $100 radio and swapping it out and, you know, either upgrading or replacing a failed radio are pretty much gone. Nissan did a good job with this. Where I think they fell off the rails is, you know, there's still a lot of people that are prideful that I have a domestic Ford, Chevy, or Dodge, even though a lot of that's not made domestic. It may be assembled here. But I just don't think Nissan really embraced a lot of that. So, you know, I'll kind of draw a parody to the Harley-Davidson culture versus, you know, having, you know, some kind of imported motorcycle. It's just not quite the same. It's not as accepted. So they would have needed to stick to their guns a little bit more. But what I was actually diving into was Nissan, that XD, I think, is that what it was called, that trim package? You could get that with a Cummins powered engine, which would be diesel.
Oh.
And that's really where I got kind of a little bit of a flair for it. I was like, ooh.
Interesting.
I like me some diesel torque and power and fuel economy. But where I really think that didn't quite go is that diesel was developed to go into the Dodge lighter duty pickups. And for whatever reason, Dodge, Fiat, or whoever owned it at the time decided to go with their Eco Diesel, which was, a Fiat-made diesel back in that point in time. And any of the light-duty diesel owners out there that own those, I think they've been fairly happy with them, but they haven't been ecstatic with them. That Eco Diesel did not stack up in the Dodge platform as they had expected, because Dodge has such a long-going relationship with Cummins in their heavy-duty platform. So the Eco Diesel was kind of a little bit of flop, but Nissan was able to get in with Cummins and have sourced the Dodge Cummins engine in a Nissan pickup.
Interesting.
Which I thought would be a huge deal. And if there's anybody out there that owns one of those, I've never owned one, I'd love for you to send us some feedback and let us know. But that, if I was going to own a light or medium duty pickup, that would interest me as a consumer a lot, to have that torque and horsepower and fuel economy of a diesel without buying a big, heavy-duty, hard-to-park monster of a 3/4 ton or 1 ton truck, which, don't get me wrong, I have a few and I'm a big fan. I wouldn't trade them for love nor money. But that, I think, is really where they missed the boat a little bit. They didn't get the price point down to the point where that was a good option. And so you had people that ordered them, but not enough. I think volume was the biggest issue.
Yeah, I mean, that's a really low amount of vehicles.
Oh, yeah. Like, what'd you say, 10,000? That's hardly nothing.
Yeah.
And so they should have done a little bit better job marketing it, putting that information out there, and then sharpening the price point on that to make it a feasible option to compete with Ford, Chevy, and Dodge. I think Nissan could have captured a lot more market share in that route, because it's a pretty good truck. I mean, it's a pretty robust truck. It's not your, you know, pavement, you know, princess, if you will. That truck, I would not be afraid to use it. And we actually have, I can think of two of our fleet customers that have those in their fleets. Now, have we had to do some work to them? Sure, we have. But have they performed and done really well? And I think both of those that I'm thinking of have like 280, oh, maybe even 300,000 miles on them. And they're still using them to actually do work for their companies. And they have served them very well. So I think Nissan is making a kind of a blunder move. However, The other part of this kind of creeps in my mind as I was driving here. I saw diesel at $4 a gallon again. And so if I'm Nissan and I'm thinking about, you know, my what sells, probably a lower MPG per gallon heavy big truck, as we go into another fuel crunch, it's probably not going to sell well. So I got to say Nissan probably knows something maybe we don't.
Yeah.
And if it's related to fuel prices, that's probably a good move on their part.
So if you are a Nissan lover out there, the only mid-size vehicle that they're going to have is going to be the Frontier now. But they also teased a future electric pickup with a concept car called the Surf Out, which I didn't look that up, but I should have.
That's interesting.
So it's going to be the similar size to the Frontier. Nissan executives stated an intention to build a midsize electric truck for the U.S. market, as the Frontier has consistently sold better than the Titan. So
yeah.
I guess that is what they are replacing it with.
It just, you know, we've talked about this a lot of times. It's not that I'm anti-EV or hybrid. I very much think they're cool. But the technology is not there
yet. It is not.
And you are going to be the beta test consumer out of your wallet, financing, buying, paying, and trying to keep that doggone thing on the road until they get this. And we're probably 10 to 15 years out. So if you guys got some information, we want to hear about it. So send it in and let us know what you all think about it. We are going to step into a break. Sarah and I will be right back after this.
Your complete car care solution. A1 Custom Car Care.
All right. Welcome back, Sarah and Dustin. We got just a little bit of time left. Where do you think the industry is going, Sarah? You think this electric thing is going to catch on?
You know, I think that they are making a big mistake building all of these vehicles first when we don't have the infrastructure for it. And there is already a lot of issues with our electrical grid. We're always constantly hearing about brownouts and blackouts, especially in places like California. And a lot of those vehicles, they're the kind of vehicle that a lot of people are driving out there.
Oh, yeah.
And I am a person that likes simplicity. I don't like things being a hassle. And it just sounds like a hassle.
Yeah, for sure.
That's the best way to put it.
It's just not dependable. Like, I'm not saying the internal combustion engine and car is, you know, 100%. Clearly, I'm in the automotive repair business. I deal with broken cars. But I don't see it leave people in a situation as often as what I'm seeing with these EVs. And I realize it's early in the inception process, but it just bugs me that it's not more refined, nor is the technology ready for it to go mainstream.
I feel like instead of just taking a look at the problems and being like, okay, here's A, B, C, these are our problems. Let's go ahead and refine those and fix those, and then we'll move forward. But they're not doing that.
No.
They're just pushing it.
And they're basically force-feeding it to us, and that's really where I get sideways on
that
stuff.
That's me too. Yep.
And to even add a little bit more to that, Darren, which you well know, he's an amazing technician. I'm very thankful to work with him. He is extremely good with the EV and hybrid. You know, he's does most of our service. Eddie out at Republic does some up for me as well. Does a great job. Long story short, we got a phone call from a very nice lady down in Northwest Arkansas it's probably been a month ago now. And as I share on the show, we have a couple of shops that we consult with down there. And I don't have the same ability to service hybrids and EVs down there, which is fine. We stay busy with everything else we're doing. But the lady had been to many dealerships, and she has a Ford Escape hybrid, which I'm a big fan of, by the way. I actually really like those. The hybrid portion of it is more appealing to me because I can still run off internal combustion and not have to sit at the charging station for an hour or whatever. But I digress. I don't normally do this, but I happened to be taking a car back down there that I had done something similar with. And so she's like, hey, completely unrelated. She happened to just call Annie over at Sunset. And she's like, I can't find anybody that can fix my Ford Escape. And I was like, you know, Annie's telling me the story. And I'm like, well, I don't normally do this. But I ended up picking her vehicle up and bringing it all the way from Arkansas up here for Darren to take care of. We had a good conversation, set the expectation, hey, anything on a hybrid is going to be expensive. It's going to take time. You know, if that's what you're interested in and you're willing to deal with that. We're willing to see what we can do to help you out. And so she was just ecstatic to find somebody. And she had been calling and calling and calling and calling. And I mean, for weeks, trying to find somebody that would just even try. And so I'm very thankful. I'll let you guys know how that kind of shakes out. I'm sure we'll get it fixed. I have no doubt. But it was something that I just thought was really interesting. And I'm starting to see that more and more and more. We were able to pull a lot of our customer base and kind of look at it with little pins on Google Maps. And we had people from Iowa, Minnesota, many out in the middle of Kansas. Now, some of that will be travelers, but some of it also is folks that I've done work for years that moved away. And I have one customer I can think in particular. He moved away probably 8 years ago, but he still has family here. And unless his vehicle is broken down, whenever he comes back to visit family, he brings us a list. He says, I want the brakes looked at, I want the tires, and he has all of his repairs done here with us because he still doesn't have a relationship after all that time. I believe he is in Iowa, I believe is where he moved to. But that's a huge compliment that he still commutes and he does his level best to find us. And we take that seriously. I mean, that's a big deal that you're going to try and make sure that you schedule in conjunction with visiting family, getting your automotive service done for the next, say, 6 months. So hopefully you don't have any problems. And we've been having great success with that for, like I said, about 8 years. And so, you know, this isn't just a job, I guess is what I'm saying. And I'm very thankful to have so many people that work with us that view it the same way. Now, I used to do all of his service. I don't anymore. Jason takes care of everything for him, and he does a great job. And I was able to move on in my career. Not that I still don't work on cars. I still very much do. But because I had somebody like Jason or Darren or Cody or James or Troy, I mean, I could keep going. And if I left any of you techs out there off the list, don't get mad at me about it. Because, you know, a lot of times even my mom and sister, they're able to show up to the shop, get things done, guys take care of them, and I hear about it after the fact. Hey, it was great. They got me fixed. That, for me, is a whole different game-changing level than me just being the one to have to fix every car. And I get a ton of pride in that, that it doesn't got to be me. I am not A1 Custom Car Care. I'm a cog in the wheel of a very fine-tuned machine, and that's an awesome thing to be a part of. You think that's a bunch of baloney?
I love it. I love that you love your job.
It really is. And I hope all of you out there, if you don't, I hope you find something you really enjoy. Because it's life's too short. Heck, I've been doing this 20 years now. It seems like I got hired yesterday. And I don't have any plans on stopping anytime soon. Now my kind of thoughts and goals is to build as many of the next up-and-coming technicians as possible.
I like that.
And it's what's needed. Craftsmen and craftswomen, they're a dying breed, or they're a retiring breed, if you will.
Yeah.
The people that can truly do the work that we have taken for granted, and I'd say probably I have as well. I thought there'd always be this river of technicians and service advisors, but that skilled labor is getting to be a commodity. You know, you look at even some of the plumbers. I've got a couple cousins, and they're amazing plumbers for a local company here in town. I'm very thankful that they're such skilled folks, especially if I got a plumbing problem. They're who I call. So I hope everybody else out there finds it. What, Sarah, do you think you found your calling? Is this something
Yeah, I've been doing it for, goodness, like going on 9 years now. Mm-hmm. I started right out of the gate, and I did the whole trade school thing, and I love it. Mm-hmm. And I made sure that I picked something that I wanted to do, not just for a year, not for just a couple years, but something that I could actually grow with, and hopefully it's something that I'll be able to retire with.
Oh, yeah.
That's a ways away, but we'll see.
You know, it'll be here before you know it, and I obviously have many, many years before I can even think about retirement. But, you know, when I was in that like 10-year mark, I was like, oh, you know, like, but it just, now I'm at 20 and it just seems like it's blown by.
It's inching closer, isn't
it?
Oh,
yeah, absolutely.
Hey,
as well as I see folks retire and move on as well. So
real quick, we've got a couple of minutes left.
Okay.
And I know that we haven't talked about it recently, but I wanted to get an update on the new store.
Oh!
Yes.
Have you driven by it?
No. Okay, so last time we talked, you guys got the concrete. You yes. actually got something up in the sky now. So you we've got a building.
You got to drive by it, Sarah. Okay. It is impressive. It is absolutely... The contractor and the architect that we've got, the general foreman, man, we were blessed, honestly,
That's
to
awesome.
Have those folks. So we did a walkthrough this week. Obviously, I check on it, if not daily, many times throughout the week. But the walls are up. The sheeting's going up, so it's getting dried in. The roof is on. Obviously, most of the steel is up. The internal partitions for the wall and the framing is going up. I can see where the offices are going to be. I can see where the customers are going to be. I can see where the techs and the layout of the lifts are going to be. It is so impressive. And the roof line, when you drive down Sunshine, you just about can't miss it because it is a very prominent building right there at the corner of Ford and Sunshine now. And the thing I'm excited about the whole project, the training facility. When I talk about I'm committed to building the next technicians or doing what I can to help them into the industry and be successful, we're having a 30 to 50 person training facility in that building that will open up, excuse me, to heated and air conditioned bays. So we can do like, you know, book learning, if you will. I realize that the book, you know, nobody uses books anymore. PowerPoint presentations. We can bring trainers in. I can do training. And then we can walk through a set of double doors into a climate controlled area that we can teach to where the young folks, or even the old folks, me included, can focus on learning some of this new technology in a comfortable environment to maximize the amount of time we spend that they take away from those training centers.
That's going to be awesome.
I am so excited.
So
about
I
that.
Know I ask this every time. Do you have an official date yet?
So we're getting close to narrowing that down with lead times on supplies. Sometimes it's a little glaring. We're typically shooting for the end of September.
Ooh.
So we're definitely well on the way. I've ordered equipment. We're going to have some amazing equipment. I'm so excited to work in this building because of the state-of-the-art equipment that we're going to have.
I cannot wait to see it.
Oh, it's going to be amazing. It already is amazing. Like, as I work there at the Fort and Sunshine building behind it, we're mm-hmm. going to keep that open. The customers are going to go into the new building, and then we'll divvy up the work. We've already attracted and hired folks to fill the positions that we need. I'm probably going to need maybe a couple of more. So if you're a young, you know, aspiring person, whether you want to be an advisor or a technician, please, I want to hear from you. I want to meet you.
How do they?
So you can go to our website and okay. then go to the careers tab okay. and click on that. Or, you know, you can stop by and say hi, but they'll direct you back to the website and run through some of the online portal that we have to become a member of A1 Custom Car Care, which, you know, like I said, I was interviewed, I think at 4 different facilities when I came out. Something was different about this place. So I'm very thankful about that, by the way. I went ahead and accepted the job, worked for him for a little over a year, and then I left them. And I realized very quickly that something is different about A1 Custom Car Care in a good way. And so I was able to walk that back, and here I am, you know, 20-ish years later.
And I'll definitely make sure to put a link up in our podcast as well. So if you
Absolutely.
Are out there and you're like, you know what, I am the perfect person for this, or I know the perfect mm-hmm. person for this, I'll just make it pretty easy and accessible
Excellent.
For you.
That'd be perfect. And I'd like to meet some new folks.
Yeah, that'll be up at KSGF.com under the podcast section. You just find A1 Custom, and you'll click on today's show. It'll be up here in a couple minutes or
awesome.
So. So give me some grace time there. But believe it or not, we're at a show.
Time flies.
It really does. So if you are out there in radio land and you have a question or a comment that you would like to send in, feel free to reach out to us. The best way to do that is our text line. The phone number is 417-447-5743, or you can reach out to us on social media. That is at 1041 KSGF. Dustin, I hope you have a great rest of your weekend.
Yes, you as well. Be safe.
Bye.